This Calgene Flavor Saver tomato also was to be using the very first antibiotic-resistant marker gene to be inserted into food. Let me explain what that is. Let's say you wanted to create a genetically modified crop that produces its own pesticide. So you find a soil bacterium that produces this protein pesticide. You take the gene out, which creates the pesticide, and you make changes in its genetic structure. You add an antibiotic-resistant marker gene, a promoter to switch the whole thing on, and typically you'd put thousands of these things in a gene gun. And you'd blast this gene gun into thousands of cells, hoping that some of your genes get into the DNA of at least some of those cells. This is the industry's precise method of insertion. Now, you can't tell which ones have gotten in, or where it's gotten in, or if it's made any disturbance to the DNA. So what you do is you douse the whole thing with antibiotics, killing them all, except very few. The few that survive, survive because now they have an antibiotic-resistant marker gene inside the DNA, producing this protein, which renders it invincible to an antibiotic. So they asked the Division of Anti-Infective Drugs at the FDA, what do you think of the use of this antibiotic-resistant marker genes? They were appalled. They said, in all capital letters in their memo, it would be a serious health hazard to introduce a gene that codes for antibiotic resistance into the intestinal flora of the general population. Can anyone guess why that's a problem? Well, the biotech industry assured the political appointees that it wasn't a problem, and they approved it. You see, the scientists were concerned that this gene would end up not only in the DNA of the transgenic plants, but it would somehow work its way into the DNA of pathogenic bacteria, probably inside our intestines, and that means that the bacteria, which was a disease, would no longer be able to be treated by those antibiotics. But the industry said, not to worry, all DNA is destroyed during digestion in the stomach. So horizontal gene transfer is impossible. Well, there has been only a single human feeding study ever published on genetically modified foods. One. Published this year. Sponsored by the Probiotech UK government. They took 7 human volunteers and fed them soybean milkshake and soy burger. Now, soy is genetically engineered not to die when sprayed with Roundup herbicide. You see, Monsanto found a bacteria growing in a dump site behind their factory that wasn't dying in the presence of Roundup. So they figured, let's put this in the food supply. So they took the gene that created the protein which created the invincibility to Roundup, and they took the gene and they blasted it into the soybeans, and now 86% of all the soy in the United States is genetically engineered so that when you spray the field with Roundup, after the soy has emerged from the ground, the soy survives, but everything else living is dead, all the weeds. But what happens is they took this soy meal and fed it to these 7 human volunteers, and these volunteers had colostomy bags. They had their lower intestines removed. Not for the study. There are some ethics there, I don't know. And they looked into the colostomy bag, and they were surprised to find how much genetically modified DNA had survived digestion, passing through the stomach and the small intestine. They also took samples of the bacteria from the colostomy bag before and after the meal. And in 3 out of the 7 volunteers, some of their bacteria growing inside their intestines was now herbicide tolerant. The gene that had been growing in bacteria in a dump site, had been inserted into the soy, had now jumped from, at some previous time, was there on a stable basis, from some soy that they had eaten to their gut bacteria. What are the medical implications of that? Well, we don't know. I'll give you some potential problems. You see, that protein, which results in herbicide tolerance, has never before been part of the human food supply. It might be an allergen. Human beings typically take repeated exposure in order to develop allergies. So there's no guaranteed test that you can do on novel proteins to verify that they are not allergenic. The World Health Organization and United Nations have a list of criteria designed to minimize the likelihood that these new genetically modified proteins would create an allergy. The soy protein would fail that criteria. Because two sections of its amino acid structure are identical to two known allergens, a shrimp allergen and a dust mite allergen. So now we have that protein being produced inside our gut bacteria, possibly long after we decide not to eat genetically modified soy again. We don't know, because it was just a pre- and post-test some hours apart, maybe a day apart, but we'd never checked in the long term.